All right, so we're on Yud Amud Aleph, the fifth line of the wide lines. We were talking about, the Mishnah had mentioned a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that if a woman had a bunch of miscarriages, each one within 80 days of the previous one, by assumption that all of the births and miscarriages, the first birth and then all the subsequent miscarriages, were girls. Well, the last one could be a boy, it wouldn't matter, but the point is that the Chachamim had said she only has to bring one korban for all of them, and Rabbi Yehuda says she has to bring a korban for every other one, the first one, the third one, etc. Right. Because, right. So we said that the underlying machloikas is whether you count from the first baby or from the last, or from the second, or from the second or last or whatever baby. We also started discussing the question, does Rabbi Yehuda hold of that only when it comes to the karbanos, because he's being machmir, or would he say, or what would he say as far as truma? Like this, effectively, as far as the karban, he's saying we ignore the second baby, we consider as though the second baby didn't exist, and therefore the third one is not doing the yemei melois of the second one, therefore it's not doing the yemei melois of the first one, because that's after 80 days from the first one. And we don't count for that purpose yemei melois for the second one to say that the third one is within the yemei melois of the second. Therefore, the third one is considered a new thing and a new carbon. The question is, what would he say as far as the genome of Tumah B'Tahara? Like this, after every baby, after every female baby, you have 14 days of Tumah and 66 of Tahara. So would he say that, what would he say then? Do we count the second baby or not? You actually have, we didn't really get into this yesterday, but Rashi, you actually have machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos about what exactly the Gemara thinks Rabbi Yehuda might be saying. Is it that, we'll say, for sure there would be Yemei Tumah for the second baby, no question about that, because there was a birth, and therefore there needs to be 14 days of Tumah. The question is, basically, Tosfos learns that, on the second baby, let's talk about. Let's say there were only two. So the first one, we know that you start off as the Yemei Tumah, 14 days, and then you start in the Yemei Tahara, 66 days. A girl, yeah, because that's the only way you have 80 days. But what we're saying is that, again, during that 66 days, she's allowed to be with her husband, so conceivably she could be pregnant, and then eventually she miscarries, let's say, could even be the Sosu Mimalois of the first one. It could be within the 80 days, but within the 66 days of Tara. But then we could have, again, that you have two weeks of Tumah after it, and 2 weeks of Tumah after it, and then she's with her husband again, and she becomes pregnant the third time, etc. The point is, would we say that Rabbi Yehuda, so according to Rashi, the question is, for sure Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that there are Yemei Tahara for both of them. Now, Whether we say he's Makel or whether we say he's Machmir, either way, he's definitely going to say there's Yemei Tahara, which actually, it results in a Kula, because it means more time that she's Mutter to her husband if she bleeds, but the more to the point is it results in a Chumra, because the longer time before she can bring her Karbanos. So would we say that, or would we say that what we do is, would we say that he would say that you have the Yemei Tumah and Tahara for the first one, and then you have Yemei Tumah and Tahara for the second one? So the way Rashi described it, if we say he's machmir, we would say that we break off the Yemei Tahara of the first one. We have the after however many days, whenever she gave birth, we break off the Yemei Tahara. However many have been counted so far have been counted. Then we have the 2 weeks of Yemei. Then we have the 2 weeks of Yemei Tumah after the second birth, miscarriage, whatever you want to call it. Within the 66 days, then we would say that we finish off the Yemei Tumah of the Yemei Tahara of the first one, whatever's left of the Yemei Tahara of the first one. And
on the 44th day.
So you have 22 days. You have 22 days left afterwards. After the second birth, and then you'd have 66 Yemei Tahara for her. That's how Rashi learns, and then Tosfos learns somewhat differently. That of the Gemara is asking whether maybe Rabbi Yehuda would say that the Yemei Tahara count for both. Right. So you have whatever's left for the first one, and then you have, and there's even a third.
It would be possible to claim here that separate those.
No, one second. If we say that he ignores the second baby as far as the Korban, maybe he also ignores it as far as the Yemei Tahara, so you don't give it separate Yemei Tahara, basically. And in fact, you have a third possibility even, which Tosfos says is another one of the possibilities that the Gemara is bringing up according to Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe we'd say there's no Yemei Tahara for the second baby at all. There's whatever's left of the Yemei Tahara of the first one, and then that's that.
It would be completed.
Those were the questions. Would we say that Rabbi Yehuda is machmer only when it comes to the Korbanos, or would we say that he's machmer also when it comes to the Yemei Trum of a Tahara? So we started saying that we have a so I guess let's start over from Omer of Huna Misura, last line of the narrow lines. Omer of Huna Misura, Toshma, Yeledes Shirsten Vizokan Alea Bien Mem Lazacho Bien Shmonim Lamakeva, that a woman who gave birth, you can shech the Korban Pesach and you can sprinkle the blood on her behalf if it's the 40th day since she gave birth to a boy or the 80th day since she gave birth to a girl. And we have to figure out ad kan tmei. So what do you mean ad kan tmei? On the 40th or the 80th day, she's still tamei. She has to have her karbonis. She can only bring her karbonis on the 41st or 81st day. So how's she going to eat the Korban Pesach on the night or following the 40th or the 80th? But Amar Rav Chista Hamani Rav Yehuda. So Rav Chista says this braisa goes according to Rav Yehuda. Drama Vlad Sheni Kamanda Lase Dami. Rav Yehuda says that we ignore the second baby as far as the dinim of karbonis. Well, right. So one second, the Amitra Trumas, Rabbi Yehuda, Vlad Sheni, Commander Isay Jami. Now, if you're going to say, when it comes to the Yemei Truma and Tara, Rabbi Yehuda holds, we do count the second baby as though it exists. Hey, Shishachtin and Allah B'yem Mem. If you say that, Hey, Shishachtin and Allah B'yem Mem, how could you shech on her on the 40th day? La'uta Nami Le'matze Achla. Still, she's not going to be able to eat that evening because she still has to bring her korbanos later. La'uta means in the evening.
Huh?
In the evening. Yeah. So obviously it must elalav shemamin elatara latruma severely the Yehuda blood shenik mandalase jami. Obviously it must be that when it comes to truma vatara, Rabbi Yehuda also considers the second baby not to exist. So there's no separate Yemei truma vatara for it, and therefore the 40th day then yeah. Well, that's right. Well, and she brings her korbanos the next day. But the point is, in other words, we have to be talking about where there were multiple births. So if Rav Chisda is saying this is the coins of Rav Yehuda, so we have to be talking about where there were multiple births. So it's 40, on the face of it, it means it's 40 days since the last birth or the last miscarriage, meaning even though there's still time outstanding from the first one, nevertheless, we're saying that she's still able to have the Korban Pesach shechted on her behalf and she's able to eat it that evening. Because, in other words, we would say that she's, there's no separate Yemei Truma and Tara for the second one.
So she would be
So Rav Chisda explains, we mentioned this yesterday, that we're talking about where there were twins. There were twins that were born one day apart. Sorry, we're not talking about miscarriages over here. There were twins born one day apart, we said, because that's what Rashi mentioned. So, in the Rashi, Omer of Chisda. So we're talking about there were twins born one day apart. So the 40th day of the second one is the 41st day from the first one. So now, if we say that Rabbi Yehuda says that, so now, the 41st day, fine, she can bring the korban on the first one. Aye, there's still a second one. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda ignores the second one. So there you go. That's the only way you could make it work. That's what the Gemara means. That we're talking about. That's the Dom of Vlad Shane. We have to be talking about a second baby. Yeah. So Elolav Shmamin Elatayr Elchumas Vidalel Rabbi Yehuda Vlad Shane. Come on, the last day, obviously, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda must hold that we ignore the second baby, and we count the 40 days for the first baby. Since the 40 days ended the day before, good. Erev Pesach was the 41st day. The 40th day was the day before, was your Gimel Nissen. Good, your Dalad Nissen, Erev Pesach was the 41st day. She brings her carbon and she can eat. Fine. So that would show. Carbon Pesach is after 6 hours. The carbon can be any time during the day. The point is, the carbon for your life.
Can be any time during the day.
Okay, so the point is, obviously, therefore, that shows that Rabbi Yehuda says we don't have a separate count for the second baby. The answer is no. We could say when it comes to Truma and Tara, Rabbi Yehuda does consider the second baby, does take into account the second baby. We could say that he says it does count. We do have separate, you may Truma for it at least, and then may, and maybe you may Tara, which would mean, in other words, that we'd have to wait until the 41st day from the second baby before you could bring the korban, because the fact that there was a second baby causes that the Yemei Tohar in this case lasts one day longer, and then it would be too late. But so how does that work with what we said? The Chitanya Ahi, when are we saying, no, that you can shech the korban Pesach and sprinkle the blood on her behalf, the Pesach above the Truma? We're talking about when the Pesach is being brought the Truma, because most of the Sibur is Tomei. Well, it's not so obvious. In fact, what do you mean? Well, mi ochla, what do you mean? She can't eat from such a korban Pesach. But not, we learn in a Mishnah. Pesach above the Truma, even if the korban Pesach is brought for Truma, so the Tmei and Mes are allowed to eat from it. But lo yochlim men of zovim v'zovis nidus v'yoldus, but zovim and zovis and nidus and yoldus are not allowed to eat from it. So therefore, so we see. So if Rabbi Yehuda still considers her your lettuce and says that she can't bring her korban until the 41st day from the second baby, then it can't go according to Rabbi Yehuda. And we said that, and we had the bride, so for sure it can't go according to the Chachamim. Never mind whether it can go according to the Chachamim. The point is, Rav Chista said specifically that it goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. So how does it go according to Rabbi Yehuda? Unless we say that Rabbi Yehuda ignores the second baby altogether. So that would be the answer to our question. We asked the Truma Mali Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Now apparently we have the answer. But the answer is no, because we're talking about where the Pesach is the Truma. But the question is, if the Pesach is above the Truma, she's not allowed to eat from it. So the answer is, Hashi lo achli shilo tibilon. When the Mishnah there says that Zavim and Zavis, etc., cannot eat from a Pesach, even if it's brought for Truma, that's talking about where they didn't tovel yet. Kitanyahi, the Shochin, Dahi, Loy Achli, that one, that kind of Korban Pesach, they cannot eat. Kilo Tvilon, if they have not totaled. Kitanyahi, the Shochin, they mean in the Zobim and the Zobis, etc. They're the four categories mentioned in the Mishnah. Kitanyahi, the Shochin, the Zokin Aleah, but the Braisa about the Shecht and sprinkle the Korban Pesach on her behalf, Deha Tavla, is talking about where she totaled already. Because keep in mind, what happens with a Yoledes is like this. She gives birth, or miscarries, as the case may be. She has 7 or 14 days of Truma. After those days of Truma, she tovels. At that point, she's now called, what the Gemara calls it elsewhere, Tvulas Yom Aruch. She's considered, in effect, from then, for the next 33 or 66 days, it's considered one long Tvulas Yom. She's mutter to her husband, just like a woman would be after she tovels and is mutter to her husband right away.
But after the 14th?
After the 7th or after the 14th. No, she tovels. Then at that point, even if she bleeds after that, she's still mutter to her husband. It's called Dam Toyar. But during all those 33 or 66 days, considered she's a Tvul Yom, she's not allowed to eat Meiser or Truma or Kodshim. Meiser, I think she can. I'm not sure about that. Whatever. The point is that the point is Truma and Kodshim she can't eat. Eventually comes the end of the 40 or the 80 days. She goes to the mikveh then. At that point, she can eat. At that point, after head of Shemesh, she can eat Truma. And the next day, she brings her Karbonos and she can eat Kodshim. So like this, we're talking about after the 40 or after the 7th day or after the 14th day, she tovled already. So she's already, so therefore, when we say that Zavim and Zavis, et cetera, can't eat from it, is before they tovled. So the question is, in that case, Yichachin Shmini Dileo Dechadia, in that case, she should already be mutter to eat the Korban Pesach, even if the 8th day was on Erev Pesach. Because after all, after 7 days giving birth to a boy, she goes to the mikveh, and then at that point, she's mutter to her husband. So therefore, already then she tovled. Then you're saying she doesn't have the Tumas Yoledes anymore, and yet on the 8th. So why are you saying only on the 40th day could you shecht her? The answer is Mishmini Lechadia. No, the reason why the Braita says she's not suitable to have the Korban Pesach shechted on her behalf on the 8th day is Kasavar. Now, obviously, on the 8th day, she obviously wouldn't be able to eat from it because, again, she has still 33 days to go before she can bring her korban. But the point would be that we're talking about where the point is the Pesach was brought for Truma, right? So therefore, so we could argue that. But there's still the reason why we say from the 8th day on she's not suitable to have it shechted on her behalf, even though it's being brought for Truma. Kasavar, the reason is because the Tana of this Braisa holds Tvul Yom Tzav Kizav Dami. Suppose you have a zog, or in this case a yoledes, which has much the same kind of tumor. Even when they tovel and they're a tvul yom, they're still considered to that extent to be like a zog. It's true that their tumor is weaker now, But nevertheless, they're still considered in the category of a Zav or Yeledis or whatever the case may be. So they
can't eat the Korban Pesach.
No, so no, actually they can't eat the Korban Pesach. If Erev Pesach came out on the 8th or 9th or whatever day, she can't have it checked on her behalf and eat from it, even if it was brought betrumah. When we're saying Shurskin Vizurskin, we're talking about specifically that it's the 40th day after a boy or the 80th day after a girl. So the question is, in that case, she's not suitable to eat it on the 40th either. The answer is, no, indeed. No, actually on the 40th day she will be. Because again, on the 40th day, eventually, at the end of the 40 days, she's no longer a Tvulas Yoyim. At the end, listen. So therefore, so all that's missing at that point is her Korbanos. This braisa holds that the mechusa kippurim of a zav is not still considered like a zav. Remember, a zav and a yeledis both have this in common, that their tara is a multi-stage process. In the case of a zav, you have where he tovold, and then you have where he has a tovold and has a head of shemesh, and then when he brings his korbanos the next day. In the case of a yeledis, similarly, you have the tumma that makes her like a nida and also to her husband for the first 7 or 14 days. You have a lesser tumma that goes for the next 33 or 66 days, and then you have the fact that she has to bring a korban the next day. In this case, what we're saying is like this, what this braisa is saying, if the pesach is anyway being brought for tumma, then like this, on the 40th day itself, that's the last of her yom, of her yom, the 40th or the 80th day, is the last day of her yom malois. That evening, the only thing that's going to be missing is that she's mechusa kippurim. Fine. In that case, that doesn't make her considered to the extent that she can't eat. Normally, she wouldn't eat from the korban pesach. Normally, a mechusa kippurim doesn't eat from the korban pesach. But in this case, since it's being brought for tumah anyway, she couldn't. That's the finish. So had it been, but that's the answer. Usually that would be the case, but in this case, where the Pesach is being brought to Tumah and is being eaten by Tumah, so even that, well, Dechulia or Hutra doesn't really matter for our purpose. The point is that given that the Tmei Mess are allowed to eat it, therefore also the Mechusri Kippurim are allowed to eat it. And she is at that point a Mechusri Kippurim. As opposed to from the 8th until the 40th day, she's a Tzvul Yoyim. That's different. A Tzvul Yoyim does not have that dispensation to eat from the carbon. So that's
any other problem she would be.
That's true. We're talking specifically that. Okay. Fine. So the point is, in other words, the Braisa does go according to the Yehuda, but we don't have to say that we're talking about that you we don't have to say that it addresses the question of whether you're talking about counting from the first baby or not. It's a special situation over here where Rabbi Yehuda allows her to, where it's the Korban Pesach brought the tumah, where he allows her as a mechusa kippurim teacher. Fine. Okay.
So we still don't have working position.
That's what we have to figure out. That's we still have the rest of the Soviet. So the question is now, Ula Rava, what about according to the opinion of Rava, or on the bottom it says Rava, Da'ama Mechusa Kippurim, as opposed to what we said before, Da'ama Mechusa Kippurim de Zav ke Zav Zami, he says that no, even a Mechusa Kippurim of a Zav is considered like a Zav insofar as eating from the Korban Pesach. We said that the Tana holds, that the Tana, this Braisa holds that not. But Rava being an Amora can't argue with a Braisa. So according to him, we mentioned that the time the Braisa holds according to the opinion, right? So the point is that Rava's explanation, who holds Mechusa Kippurim Dezav Dami, is still considered like a Zav. Therefore, even she on the 40th day, even though on the night following the 40th night, when it comes to eat from on the night following the 40th day, when it comes time to eat the Korban Pesach, she's a Mechusa Kippurim at that point, and Rava is still saying she can't eat from it. So how would Rava understand the Braisa? The answer is Amar Ravashi. Rava would explain. The Braisa doesn't mean we're talking about the 40th day after the birth or after the miscarriage of a boy or the 80th day after the birth or miscarriage of a girl. Rava would understand it means that she miscarried on the 40th day from when she conceived a boy or on the 80th day from when she conceived a girl. The Rabbi Shmuel, namely, therefore, this Braisa would go according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Omar, Lazocher Mem, the Echad, Lamkeva, Shmoinim, the Echad. Rabbi Shmuel holds, now we have the concept that we've learned before, that it takes 40 days for a baby to be in the womb to be formed to the extent that its miscarriage is considered significant in Halacha. And the Chachamim hold that's true for both boys and girls. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with that. Rabbi Shmuel says that only once it reaches the 41st day after conception for a boy, then it's considered formed enough that if he miscounted, but not to a girl, it would be 81. It would have to be, because Rabbi Shmuel says, we'll learn about it in the second minute, as Hashem. But he learns, basically, that the time that the Torah says of Yemei Malois, after a boy and after a girl, reflect the amount of time that each of them takes to develop in the womb to the point where it's considered, where it's actually considered a baby in halacha. So the Chachamim say no. 40 days, whether for a boy or for a girl. So once you reach the 41st day, if she miscarries it, then either one is considered significant. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. So therefore, so the price is just saying. In other words, I don't know, he disagrees. We'll learn about it in Nigga, that's a shame. He disagrees because he understands that the 40 and 80 days for a boy and a girl reflect the amount of time it takes for them to be formed in the womb. The point being, in other words, that, now, by the way, Tosfos points out that usually you can't necessarily know exactly how many days it is since conception, because even if you know the exact day they had relations, still sometimes it takes a couple of days for the egg to be fertilized. However, Tosfos brings from a Gemara in Nidda that Shmuel, for example, had the expertise to know this kind of thing. So if you have somebody like Shmuel around, no, actually the doctors nowadays don't. As a matter of fact, they usually count, there's a reason why they usually count from the last menstrual period rather than from All right, anyway, the point is, therefore, so the Braita is just telling us, you should know, Rabbi Shmuel, therefore, would say if she miscarried on the 40th day after conceiving a boy, nothing, she's not considered, she may have later, there's no birth for that. It has to be on the 41st or later, or the 41st for a boy, 81st for a girl. Okay, the question is, if that's how Rava would understand the Braisa, well, after all, typically, I have another reason she'd be telling me anyway, that's Meir Himisham Nidda. Anyway, typically, if you come out, you can bring out a different reason why she should be possible to eat the carbon, because she's going to be in Nidda, because blood comes out during the birth. So even fine, let's say it was the 40th day since conception, but when the incompletely formed baby comes out, blood comes out with it. She becomes Tomei Nidda from that. The answer is Beledi Yavesta. Okay, so we could be Dam Tara would be after 14 days after 7 or 14 days after the birth. Here we're talking about blood that came out during the birth. The answer is Beledi Yavesta. We're talking about, suppose it was a dry birth. No blood happened to come out. So the question is, it happens.
From delivery?
Yes. So the question is, Yehochi Maila Mimra, well, if so, then what's the Chiddush? Of course, if Rabbi Shmuel says that it takes 41 or 81 days and then there's no blood, then of course she's Tahar, and then what's the Chiddush?
Is the blood outside, or is the blood outside?
No, it would be, in other words, that there no blood came out. You didn't see any blood coming.
Outside.
Yeah, but the answer is, Maudetema, no, because otherwise you would think, you would think, inevitably, when the kever, which means the womb, opens, blood must come out. So in that case, you would say, even though it was a lady of Eshta, you didn't see any blood, some blood must have come out, you just didn't notice it. One second. Kamash Malan, therefore, the Braisa, therefore, Rava's understanding of the Braisa would tell us, the Eshta l'psichas ha-kever b'lajam, that no, it is actually possible for the womb to open without blood. Now, the halacha, okay, so what is Kamash Malan, the Eshta. Now, actually, Tosfos, Kamash Malan, because that would be the point, that it is possible. Therefore, as long as it was on the 40th day after conception of a boy, and as long as no blood was visible, then fine, she's Tahar and she can eat the carbon Pesach. That would be the point of the Braita. What is the actual halacha on that Epsher or E-Epsher, the Pesach of the Kever? Tosfos brings over here from Shiltus that says, since the Gemara is saying over here that you can shech the carbon Pesach on her behalf, that must mean the halacha is, in fact, that Epsher or Pesach of the Kever below Dom, because at least according to Rava, there's no other way to explain the Braita. On the other hand, many other Rishonim say not necessarily. First of all, Rava himself in Nidda takes the view that Yesh shall have the Kever Blaydom. Well, so it means here he's explaining the Braisa. He was just doing it in order to explain the Braisa. He himself might hold differently. The actual halacha that most poskim hold is Yesh shall have the Kever Blaydom, which is relevant not only to births and miscarriages, it's also relevant, for example, to gynecological examinations, certain kinds of exams. Certain kinds of exams,
well,
sometimes.
Kever is not just examination.
No, but it means, in other words, if it was opened, if it was dilated beyond a certain amount, so then sometimes you have. Sometimes in the course of a gynecological examination, they have to, then automatically she would be considered nidda, yeah. And that's the other thing. Right. EF shall be the kever boy dumb. That's the halacha. So once it opens a certain minimum amount, and we'll learn about it in Nidda, that's the shem, what that minimum amount is, then she's considered Nidda automatically. All right. So far the bottom line is the Braise is not necessarily addressing any. The Braise is according to Rabbi Yehuda, fine, but it's not necessarily addressing anything about Rabbi Yehuda's shita about when you have multiple babies, which one you count from. So we still don't have a proof what he holds as far as you made from a Vatara. Amar Rav Shmaya Toshma. So Rav Shmaya says, I'll prove from a Braise like this. The Pasuk says that after a girl is born, you have 66 days of Yemetara. When the Pasuk says Shishim, when it says 60, we'll focus on the 6 later, but right now we're focusing on the 6. The expression in the Pasuk is B'shishim Yom V'sheshet Yom. 60 days and 6 days. 66 days, right. But why does the Pasuk phrase it like this? If it just said Shishim, Yochol Ben Retzufin Ben Mechuzarin, you could think that maybe the 60 days could be either consecutive or spread out, or they could be broken up. What would mean broken up? For example, Rashi says, let's say, for example, she miscarried 54 days after giving birth to a girl. Because again, you have 14 Yemei Tumah. 40 days that are necessary for a male baby to be formed, and according to the Chachamim, well, female also, then she miscarries. So she has 54 days. You would think that maybe the days of Tumah for the new baby, for the new miscarriage, should break up the thing, and then afterwards we'll finish off the remaining Yemei Tara afterwards. No, therefore the Pasuk says Yoim, day, v'shishim yoim v'sheshet yomim, where the word yoim is extra. So it says shishim yomim, or it says shishim v'shesh yomim, whatever. So therefore, my yoim rosh. So just like a day takes place consecutively, af shishim, call it a sofim, in the same way that 60 days have to be consecutive. That's the braisa. So the question is, mani, which of the tanoim in our Mishnah would that braisa be according to? To say that it's possible, conceivably, for them to be broken up. That the 60 days could conceivably have a break in between. E Rabbanon, would it go according to the Rabbanon? Can't. Me Islo Rabbanon Mechuzarin. The Chachamim Bechlal don't hold that you have a concept of that the days could ever even conceivably be Mechuzarin, because they say that you count beginning from the second baby, and the Yemei Toyar of the first one are counted only after the second baby, so there's no Mechuzarin in the first place to talk about.
Well,
yeah. Elola of Rabbi Yehuda. Evidently, the Braise has to be according to Rabbi Yehuda. So if Rabbi Yehuda and the Braise is telling us that you have to have 60 days consecutively, that can only work if we say he goes l'chumra and not l'kula. Meaning, in other words, that we would say that you have, you made Toihara the first one. So we're saying, as far as Tumah Vatara, though, he's Machmir, you don't say that you have separate Yemei Toihau for the first one and the second one. You have Yemei Toihau only consecutively from the second one, and that's what the Braise will be telling us. Don't think that you can have some of them before and some of them after. They have to all be after. So in other words, you have the 60 days or the 66 days or whatever only after the second one. You don't have, but there's the number that you counted beforehand, and then you're going to finish those off and then have more for the second one. You wouldn't, right?
So you have to finish the first count before you start the second one.
Right. So you count only from the second one, right? Yes. So therefore, only when it comes to the korban is he saying you count from the second one. But as far as the number of Yemei Toihar, how long is it that she has Yemei Toihar? You would say that you're not going to be mako on her to say that she has more Yemei Toihar. You're going to be machmer and say that she has fewer, and therefore and the Braisa would be saying that we learn that from the pasuk from the word Yom. So therefore, obviously, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're machmir, that she has fewer, you may tara.
You're machmir,
meaning that we said, that instead of counting the remaining you may tara for the first one, and then counting the you may tumah and tara for the second one, instead we don't do that. The you may tumah reduce the number of you may tara that she had for the first one, because you subtract 14 days,
right.
and then you start counting the you may tara for the second one. So in other words, you break off what happened to the first one and the second. So the answer is loy la'olam rabbanahi. No, you could say that maybe the braisa goes according to the chachamim. You're saying according to the chachamim, how would you ever have a case where they'd be broken up in the first place if they say you go according to the second baby? We would say v'chachav ma'askin and lo yoledes zachar because shmeinim shon l'keva. Suppose that she gave birth to a boy miscarried within the 80 days of a girl. In other words, you could have. Remember, a boy you only have 7 and then 33. So it's possible for the entire 40 days to fit within the 66 days of Tara of a girl. you can have, for example, that
first she had a girl.
So first she had a girl. She had the Yemei Tumah. She started counting the Yemei Tahara. Then in the middle of the Yemei, early in the Yemei Tahara, she became pregnant. 40 days later, or thereabout, or a little after, any time after 40 days, she miscarried the baby. It was a boy. So now you have 7 and 33 again. And when that finishes, you're still within the 80 days from the girl. So that would be the point. Therefore, that the pasuk would be saying that you don't. The pasuk would be saying that you don't give her an extra 7 days to count for the Yemei Tumah. You just count the 7 and 33 days after the second birth, and ignore the rest of that, and ignore. So that's the point. That there, the Chachamim would think, according to the Chachamim, you would have a case where you should be breaking it off and then resuming. And we're saying you don't do that. So the question is, so if Shalman Yomi de Kadma, but after all, that still, what do you mean? The Chachamim would say that hypothetically could be a case where the days are broken up. The days of the first one, the days of the first one have finished off. Once the 7 and 33 for the boy have finished, you're already past the 80 days for the girl. Because think about it, you have only 66 days of Tahara to work with. So you have, and out of that, you have to have at least 40 days for the baby to have been formed. So that leaves you only 26 days, and you need 40 days for a boy. So by the time the 40 days are over, of course, the 80 days are over for the girl. Why would you think you would resume them?
And before we said what?
That's what we were asking. We were thinking that the whole 40 days fits within the 80 days of the girl, but it really doesn't. So you have to consider the amount of time of Tumah, the amount of time for the baby to form, which is 14 days, another 40 for the baby to form in the womb until the point when the miscarriage is considered, and then 54, and then you have another 40 days, then you have another 7 and 33, another 40 days. You're up to 94 days.
For the second one.
So now, after all, as we said in the Mishnah, the Chachamim count from the birth of the second baby. So therefore, of course, by the time you finish the 40 days of the second baby, the first baby is 80 days have expired. So the answer is Ela Mashkacha Slolarabonim Beyaledif Ta'im. No, but you could find a case where that according to the Chachamim, you would hypothetically talk about the days being broken up, namely if there were twins. Yeah. Nekeva Kadmai. Suppose she gave birth to a girl. Listen. Nekeva Kadmai. So she gave birth first to a girl. The Zohar Basra. Later on, she gave birth to a boy. What's the situation? Okay, going to Yalidil, the Zohar Basra, the Etrim Liyome Tara. Suppose that she gave birth to the boy. On the 20th day of the Yemei Tahara. And Rashi says it doesn't necessarily mean the 20th day. It's just the Gemara is using a round number. But let's say she gave birth to the boy on the 20th day of the Yemei Tahara. The boy minkat leshiva yomei tumah deleda. So she has to have 7 days of Yemei Tumah from the birth. Tumim Nekeva we take out because we're talking about over here that she gave birth to a boy. So you have there's 7 days after that. So then you would have 33 days, and all of that does fit within the 66 days of Tahara of the girl. So she gave birth to the boy on the 20th day of Yemei Tahara, and even once you have 7 and 33, you're still only up to day 60, and you have another 6 days to go. So now the Braisa will be telling us, you would think in such a scenario, she gave birth to a girl and a couple of weeks later to a boy from that were twins. Then you would have the tumah of the second birth breaks up the Yemei Tahara. And what you do is you count to 66, some before and some after that. And therefore, so no proof that this braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you can find such a scenario according to the Chachamim where you would think that some of the Yemei Tumah, some of the Yemei Tahara take place before the second birth. So we're not talking about separate pregnancies and then births and miscarriages or whatever. We're talking about twins where the second one was delayed. And by the way, so I was mentioning yesterday, the Gemara mentions in Nida that you can have such a thing, twins that are born sometime apart. He said nowadays obstetricians would never let it happen. But the Gemara mentions over there in Nida that you actually had a case where twins were born 3 months apart.
So we're talking about a girl and a boy.
So a girl and a boy. So the girl was born first. Then the mother had the Yemei Tumah. She started the Yemei Tahara. 20 days into the Yemei Tahara, so 34 days after the original birth, she gave birth to a boy. Then you have 7 and 33. And when you finish that, you still haven't finished the 80 days of the girl yet. So you would think that you finished the 80 days of the Google afterwards, so therefore now Yoim tells us that. Okay. So still no proof of Rabbi Yehuda. So it could work according to the Chachamim. Amar Abaye Toshma. Again, you have another bright, so that mentions in connection with a boy. Again, when it says shloshim, the pasuk says by a boy, it uses a similar expression, or shloshim yoim or shloshes yoim, 33 days she has dmei tara. So again, yocho ben v'sufin ben v'chuzorin, you would think the 30 days could be consecutive or non-consecutive. Note, tamad loima yoim, therefore the pasuk says yoim, which means ma yoim kulerosif, just like a day takes place consecutively. And you didn't have to say yoim at all, so it says shloshim or shloshes yoim. Or it could have said shloshim yomim or shloshim yomim, whatever. It didn't have to say yom. Shloshim yom or shloshim yom. Ach shloshim l'sufin. The same way, the 30 days have to be consecutive. So again, let's figure out mani ha. Who would this brayta be like? Ilei merabbanon. Could it be according to the rabbanon? Can't. Again, umi islahu l'rabbanon l'chuzorin. When would the rabbanon say that you could ever have a case of broken up yemei tara? You say that the Chachamim say you count from the second day. And here we can't even say that it's fifth in the days of the first one. So here we're talking about she gave birth to a boy first. Even if they were twins, you still wouldn't have, even if they were twins, let's say they were twin boys, you still wouldn't have that the 40 days of the second one fit within the 40 days of the first one. And here we're talking about a boy was born first because they're saying Shloshim, which refers to a boy. So obviously, therefore, this cannot go according to the Rabbanan. Ela lav Rabbi Yehuda. It must go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ushma mina chumra islay kula maslay. So obviously, therefore, yes, we must say that after all, our initial assumption was right. Rabbi Yehuda goes only the chumra, not the kula. He's saying even though he's saying as far as the korban, we count only the first birth. That's why we don't count the second. That's why he says he brings korban for every other one. When it comes to yemei tumah v'tara, you would say that we don't say again that we're going to finish off the yemei tara of the first one and then have the and then have the yemei tumah. We're not going to have the yemei tumah of the second one in between, and then have the end of the yemei tara of the first one, and then the end of the yemei tara of the second one. The braita is saying that you don't, because that should be resulting, that should be consecutive. So it means we only have yemei tara for the second one.
And that proves
it. So that proves it. Goes the chumra and not the kula.
The chumra is that
you don't make. So again, you have Rashi versus Tosfos. Is the chumra that we don't give him, that we don't give her extra time of the yemei tahara to make up for the yemei tumah that we're in between, or is it that we're not giving her the rest of the yemei tahara at all from the first one? Yeah. Okay. But oid amar Ravashi toshma. Also, Ravashi says there's another proof that we can bring to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Another bright that focuses on when it says and 6 days, because again it says shishim yom v'sheishes yomim. Again, yochol ben yitzufin ben yechuzorin. You would think that the 6 days can be consecutive or non-consecutive. And here again, Rashi explains the scenario is. So let's say that she's in the yemei tahara of a girl. She miscarries between the 63rd and 66th day. The 66th day would be over, but let's say she miscarries, let's say on the 63rd day, she miscarries a boy. So you would think, therefore, again, that she has 3 days left to go. So you would think that you, three of those days ended up being her yemei tumah, and we would say, therefore, we're going to make up for it and give her three extra yemei tahara later. And therefore, the bride said no. So the bride continues, no, tamad by mashishim. No, because the pasuk mentions the 60, and then it mentions the 6. And there's a hekesh, ma shishim kolon esofim, just like as we said before, the 60 days have to all be consecutive, because of the word yoim, af shisha kolon esofim, the same way the 6 also have to be all consecutive. So again, mani, who would this braita be like? Ilemi rabbanon, could it be according to the rabbanon? Again, can't. Mi isfohu rabbanon mechuzarin. The chachamim b'chlal don't hold there could be a concept of them being scattered at all, because they say you count only from the second baby, right? Right. So therefore, and the second babies, you made tumah and tara go long past the 80 days from the first girl. So according to them, there would never be mechuzarin. Ta'am rabbanu l'vlad sheni man. You don't chacham say you count according to the second baby. El olav Rabbi Yehuda. He obviously must be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ushma min chumra islay kula leslay. So obviously, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds only the chumra and not the kula. So we're not giving. Therefore, the braita is saying we don't give her those extra 3 days. Even if, which we're missing, because she miscarried on the 63rd day of Yemei Tahara. We don't give her the three extra days. So Shemani, no, that proves it. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. That you don't. You have Rashi versus Tosfos. What exactly Rabbi Yehuda holds? Whether it's that he holds that you don't that you don't give her time to make up for the Yemei Tumah that were in between. Or is it that you don't give her the remaining Yimei Tahara at all?
That's
the Chumra. Either way, that's the way we say that Rabbi Yehuda goes the Chumra. And we can prove it from these brayses about the Shloshim and about the Shisha.
The Chumra being that either
you don't, in the last case, for example, you don't make up the 3 days that she lost. You don't make them up later on. You say that, no, you just count from the second, you just count from the second baby. She has 14 and 66 days for the second baby. It was 7 and 33 if it was a boy. And that's that. You don't make up the extra days that she lost from... That's a Chumra, because she's not getting more Yimei Tahara.
And?
That's it. And she's not getting extra Yimei Tahara, so that's the Chumra.
If she
was getting extra Yimei Tahara, she'd have more time, she's more to her husband, or... Yeah, okay. Okay, fine. Mishnah says, Eilim Avin Korban Ola V'Yoda. The following cases, a person brings a Korban Ola V'Yoda. We said in the previous Mishnah, there are five such cases, so now let's list them. Al Shmias Kol, number one, for Shavuot HaEdos. It's called Shmias Kol because that's how the Pasuk introduces it. The Nefesh Tisech of a Shama Kol Ola. They heard the sound of an oath, namely that Reuven was Mashviya Shimon, if you know this such and such Adris for me that you're going to come and base in, and Shimon swears falsely that I don't know that Adris, then, yes, so that's Shmias Kol. So he brings a Korban Ola V'Yoda for that. Val Bitri Sasayim, for Shavuot Bitri, it's a false Shavuot. Because we're trying to make on him. We're trying to give him a break. And yeah, okay. That's what we said before. It's even whether it was Shavuot Bitri or amazing. Yeah. Okay. Val Bitri Sasayim, for Shavuot Bitri, same thing. Val Tumas Mikdash Vakotra, for a person who entered the Beis Mikdash who ate Kodshim B'Shodig, V'Hayaledes V'Hamitzorah, and a woman who gave birth and a Mitzorah, those are the five cases where a person brings an adjustable value for them. Okay, so the Gemara says Tananabon. Yesh may be... Bitches V'Fayim is a false Shavuah that doesn't have any monetary implications. So just for example, a person swears that I ate yesterday and he didn't. Or
simple
line. Yeah. The Shavuot Bitri. Bitri, because that's what the Pasuk calls it. Nefesh is trouble of Vase Bisfatai. Okay, actually, I mean, the truth is we learned in Shavuot, it's a little more complicated than that. The Lahorai Lahatif, that doesn't mean only if he's swearing about something in the future, he swears I will eat this and he doesn't eat it. Does it also apply to the past if he swore? Whatever, without getting in with that, that was a whole, we had a whole story about that in Shavuot, but whatever. Yeah. Okay, fine. Turn it up on him. We learned in a bride. Yesh may be the dalos sashirus. There are certain cases where a person brings a korban in poverty or in riches. In other words, where the Torah gives two types of korban, one for the poor and one for the rich. The yesh may be the dalos. Then you have certain people who bring the korban, who always bring the korban of a poor person. Or the yesh may be the dalos. And then there are people who can, and I shouldn't say always, you have people who bring a poor korban, and then you have people who bring dalos. Poorest of the poor. In other words, with some of these korbanos that we mentioned in the Mishnah, you have two levels, rich and poor, and with some of them you have three levels, rich, poor, or really poor. Yeah. Yeledes mivia bedalos ashirus. So it's like this: a woman who gave birth can bring either a poor person's korban or a rich person's korban. Meaning, so the pasuk says, if she's rich, she brings an animal, she brings an animal and a bird, an animal for a sheep for an ola and a bird for a chatas. And if she's poor, she brings two birds, one for a chatas and one for an ola. Mitzurda may be bedalos. A mitzurda brings in poverty.
We define poor, right?
Yeah, well, it basically means that they can't afford. That means that they can't afford. That means they can't afford that type of korban. So the Mitzurda may be bedalos. The Mitzurda brings in poverty. An interesting point. The Chayt Nosan says what the Braisa means is that even that when it comes to women who give birth, even a rich woman in a certain sense is also bringing a poor person's korban because she's always bringing one bird. If she's rich, she's bringing one bird and one animal, but she's always bringing the one bird. As opposed to a Mitzurda may be bedalos in the sense that he's always a Mitzurda can conceivably be bringing all the dollars. Because you have a rich Mitzurah brings three animals, and a poor Mitzurah substitutes two of them with birds. So in that sense, you can have that a Mitzurah, that a poor Mitzurah is bringing only a poor person's korban, as opposed to a Yerledes, who's all, whether she's rich or poor, there's always a poor person's component in it, because she's always bringing one bird. So the Chayt Nosan says, now it's true that a Mitzurah, regardless, always has to bring an Osham, the animal. However, that's different, because there's no such thing as an Osham for a bird. So in other words, ignoring the irrelevant is one time. In other words, when it comes in one time. In other words, like this. What the Chaikmasana is saying is like this. When it comes to the Masoda, ignore the Asham for the moment. The Asham is always bringing an animal because by definition there's no such thing as an Asham from a bull. Looking at only his Chatas and Asham, you can have a rich Masoda who brings them as animals, and you have a poor Masoda who brings them as bulls. That's what it means, Masoda maybe begalas. On the other hand, with a woman, with a Yeledis, she has a Chatas and an Asham, she's always bringing one of them, namely the Chatas, as if it was a poor person's carbon, because it's always a bird. Only the Oila can vary. The Oila can be rich or poor, as the case may be. So that's what the Braita means when it says that a Yeledis may be a begalas of Ashiros, that whether she's rich or poor, there's always something, there's always a poor, whether she's rich or poor, there's always a bird involved, right?
And an animal.
Right.
If she's rich,
right.
And if she's poor, two birds.
If she's poor, then two birds, yeah. Shmias akol the bitches for saying the Trumas Mikdash Kodshav. Then when it comes to the other three in the Mishnah, Shavuot the Eidos and Shavuot Bitri and Trumas Mikdash Kodshav, those may be in Bedalus, Bedale Dalus. Those you have three levels. You have rich, you have poor, and you have very poor. Tanya Eidach, we're learning another Baisa. Yesh may be Echod Tachas Echod. There are certain cases among these five where a person substitutes one thing with one thing, and we're going to explain in a minute what all this means. Yesh maybe shnayim tachas shnayim. Then you have a case where a person substitutes two things for two things. Yesh maybe shnayim tachas echad. Sometimes instead of one thing that you would have brought, you bring two things. Yesh maybe echad tachas shnayim. And you have the other way around. Sometimes instead of bringing two things, you bring one thing. And the Braita finishes off. From here you can learn, which the Gemara is going to make the calculation soon, that an Asiris Ta'efa, that the tenth of an Efa, which is what the poorest person brings as a carbon earlier year, that's the Dalai Dalos, costs only a Prota. Okay, so let's work all this out. What does the Braita mean about you have one instead of two, and two instead of one, and so forth? Like this. Yeledes Mevia Achas Tachadah. When it comes to a woman who gave birth, she is substituting one thing for one thing. Namely, Shrida Achas, because she's always bringing one bird, but the substitution is the Oif Tachas Kevin. Right, substitution is a one-for-one substitution. She's either bringing one bird for an Oila, or she's bringing one animal for an Oila. So that's the sum of the substitution by her is one-for-one. In the case of a Metzorah, the substitution is two for two, because if he's poor, he's bringing two birds instead of two sheep that he would have brought for his chakras and his
Ola. If he's rich.
If he's rich, he brings sheep, right, but if he's poor, he brings birds. So it's two. So his substitution is two for two. So you have like this. There can be a substitution of two for one, namely, instead of if they were rich, they would have been bringing one sheep. Instead, if they're medium poor, then they bring two birds. So that's the substitution of two instead of one. And then if they're very, very poor, they bring one mincha instead of two birds. So that's what we mean. By those three, you have a possible substitution of two instead of one, and of one instead of two.
Basically, you're saying two animals when he's rich, one animal...
No, for carbon out of the yard, it's one animal if he's rich, two birds if he's medium, and one after the sefer if he's poor. So again,
if he's rich, it's what?
If he's rich, it's one animal. Just
one animal.
Just one animal as a chassid for carbon out of the yard. Again, we have three different cases over here. We have the Yeledis, where it's always a one-to-one substitution. One thing that she's bringing is fixed. It's always a bird for her chata.
Two birds and one
bird. So it's either one, right. So the substitution is one bird in place of one animal. Right. In the case of a Masoda, it's two for two. Because ignoring his Asham, because his Asham is always an animal, whether he's poor or rich, the other two karbanis, you're never going to have that he brings, let's say, the chata is a bird and the Ola is going to be an animal. You don't substitute half of it. It's either you bring two birds for a chassas and an ola, or two animals for the chassas and ola, plus the animal for the other.
One is the chassas, one is the
ola. Right. So therefore, so you have in the case of the Masoda, you're substituting two for two. You have two animals that he would be bringing as a rich person, which instead we're taking out and substituting them with two birds. In addition to the Asham. We're not counting the Asham because the Asham is fixed regardless. The Asham is a sheep.
He has to bring a sheep
regardless, right.
If he's poor, he brings the two birds.
He brings the two birds plus one sheep, and if he's rich, he brings three sheep, right. So the substitution is two for two. In the case of a carbon earlier, it's like diamond shape. You go from one animal to two verbs to one minimum. So you have two instead of one and one instead of two. That's what the Braise is telling us. Then we learned in the Braise, the mechanical moment last year to Eifer Shiden Prutta. From here you can derive what the Asira Sefer, the mincha that a person brings as his carbon over the year, if he's really poor, costs only a prutta. So the question is, where do we know that from? Where do we know that costs only a prutta? Yeah. The Tanan Abban. So we have another Braise that says like this. If a person says, actually we have this in Menachos, I think there was a Mishnah over there, we said if a person makes a neder that I'm going to bring something worth a sela onto the Mizbeach, maybe keves. So you should bring a sheep. She'ed jaba, kores the sela ela keves, because the only thing you can find at regular prices that costs one sela is a sheep. How do we know that in turn? Mimai, how do we know that a sheep usually costs one sela? Since the Torah tells us that when you have to bring a ram as an osham for certain kinds of kashrut, asham zelus and asham meilus, the pasuk says it has to be worth two shloim, two shkolim, mikol the keves ben shana b'sela. So the implication is that a ram, remember, is an animal in its second year, so it's worth more. A sheep, the first year is called a keves,
okay.
And then the second year it's called an ayil. So if in the second year it's usually worth two sforim, then the implication is that it's keves ben shana, so that would mean that if it's in its first year, it's a sela, then it costs only a sela. Okay. Midichtiv, keves ben shanasa, and we know that because the pasuk says, the pasuk describes the sheep as ben shanasa, within a year old. So usually when a person brings a sheep, so the definition of a sheep in halacha is it's under a year old, a lamb in halacha, whatever, it's under a year old. Okay. So we know, therefore, that a sheep costs a sela. Utsnan. Now, we learned in the previous perek, in the story of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the inflated prices, that we said after Rav Shimon Gamliel publicized his halacha about the din over there, about the five, about the time when she cried multiple chatois, that are multiple korbanos, that she only has to bring one to eat kod shim, etc. So we said the prices dropped, and four birds altogether, cost rivasayim half a dinner. So that means one pair would cost a quarter of a dinner. Now, so we can figure like this. The proportion
of a dinner.
So the point is, so now let's figure out. There are four dinner in a cellar. So therefore, one quarter of a dinner equals 1/16 of a cellar. So we can figure like this. Umidachos rachmana alei de dalos. Since we see the Torah has rachmanos on the medium poor person, the Torah is allowing him to bring for his korban olah v'yored something that's worth only 1/16 of what the rich person has to bring. So the rich person is bringing a keves, which is worth a sela, and the poor person is bringing two birds, which according to the rate we said over there would be a quarter of a dinner, which is 1/16. Therefore, we can figure the same proportion holds from dalos to dalei dalos. Therefore, chas rachmana alei dalei dalos. Therefore, we can calculate that the Torah also has rachmanos on the poorest of the poor. Lamer v'chad mishik also b'dalos. That should be 1/16.
Dalos.
Yeah, that's what we said. You have osher, you have dal, and you have dalei dalos. So the osher brings something worth a sela. The dal we said brings something worth 1/16 of that, which is a quarter of a dinner. So therefore, we have to figure that the dalei dalos, the same proportion would hold, he would be bringing 1/16 of what the dalos brings. Okay, so let's figure out. In kain dalos kamahavya, so let's calculate. How does that yield a pruta? In that case, let's see. Dalos, we said, is supposed to be a quarter of a dinner. So two birds equal a quarter of a dinner. But kama priti begriva aboimasmanya priti. How many prutas are there in a quarter of a dinner? There are 48, because there are 192 prutas to the dinner. So one says that
192
purpose to the dinner. So one quarter of that would be 48. So the 48 purpose. Well then, chad mishita off the kamahavi. So then 1/16 of that, how much would that be? The dalos would be plus the priti. Then it would be three purpose. How does that work? Like a tani mikanaf alam and lasi would say it's a pruta. We just said before that it comes out only a pruta. Am I pruta? So what do you mean? How do you come out of pruta? Ha'amris asiru se'efa dalei dalos do. You just said asiru se'efa is what the dalei dalos, the poorest of the poor brings. Ha'amris chad mishit to the dalos do. You said it's supposed to be 1/16 of the dalos, the hashvinim that we calculated, the gimel priti avim. So it comes out to only three prutas. So what are you telling? So it comes out to three prutas, not one pruta. So what are you telling me an asiru se'efa costs one pruta? No. So the answer is tana mieledis the avim. The answer is the tanner who's deriving Dow from, who's deriving the proportions, is not using the regular case of Kerbin Oda V'Yodid. He's using the case of a woman who gave birth. Where again, we said that she, we said that if that she's always bringing one bird, so that one bird we're ignoring for that purpose. Her hatna, we said it. She's always bringing at least, she's always bringing one, she's always bringing a bird as a hat. Her hatas is always a bird. That's a given. The question is her oda. If she's rich, it's a sheep. If she's poor, it's one bird. That's the key thing. The rate we're figuring, therefore, is not one sheep to two birds, as would be the case with a carbon out of the yard, but rather one sheep to one bird. So therefore, the proportions are different. So therefore, let's refigure. So we're learning from a Yoledes. The Maske Prida Achas Tachas Keves. She's bringing one bird instead of one sheep. Prida is a bird. Is a bird, yeah. Tachas Keves instead of a bird. The Havichad Mitzvos in the train to Keves. So therefore, it comes out 132nd. Because two birds is a quarter, so one bird is an eighth. An eighth of a dinner is one quarter, and there's been four dinner to the seller, so it comes out 132nd. Okay. Fine. But ad kan dale dalos kamahabi. Now, what were we saying? So what will we say? Okay, but the question is, still, we would still argue that dale dalos is kamahabi. How much would it come out? As we said before, it ought to be chad mishit of the dalos. It ought to be 1/16 of dalos. Because after all, where were we learning it for? From? We were learning it from the ratio to a keves and ayel. Ad kan pruta or palgabi. You still, okay, you've gotten to a pruta and a half. So you divide the seller by 32 and then divide it again by 16, but that still leaves you a pruta and a half. And the original Braisa said it's one pruta, no more. So where are we getting that? Amar Rava. So Rava says, no, kula milsim yeledes yalef. No, you thought that we're learning half of it from yeledes and the other half from Kerbin Oda V'Yodid, therefore we're doing 32 and then we're doing 16. No, we're learning throughout the whole thing from a yeledes. Now, the yeledes doesn't have dali dalis. She only has two rates. Rich and poor, but still, the Hachikama, the Braisa is saying like this, Midachos Rachmona Alei Dedalus. Since we see the Torah has Rachmonos on the poor Yeledes, Lomer V'chad Mitzvos and Retrain Bashiros, that she only has to bring something worth 1/32nd of what the rich woman has to bring, Omai Yeledes, namely, you find that by Yeledes, which is bringing one bird instead of one sheep, which is 1/32nd, the cost. We can assume that the Torah is not saying, therefore, the dalei dalos should be 1/16 of the dalos. We can say the same ratio would hold, 1/32nd, that the dalei dalos, the nevi chad min swas in the chain, the dalos.
She brings
one bird instead of one sheep, leaving aside the other bird, that 1/32nd. So therefore, we can assume that where you have a three-level thing, that also the third level, the dalei dalos, is 1/32nd of the second level. And that would be, so therefore, maihi, so let's recalculate. So we started out with one seller. We divided by 32 to get 1/8 of a dinner. We said now, what now? We said before, 1/4 of a dinner has 48 purpos in it, which means, therefore, that, okay, 1/4 of a dinner, we said, remember, there are 192 purpos in a dinner. So now, so let's figure it like this. Let's talk of it in terms of purpos. There are 192 purpos in a dinner. There are four dinerim in a cella. So therefore, that means there are 768 purpos in a cella. So let's calculate. We started by dividing the cella into 32 to get to the dalos, because you said that's the proportion by poor woman. Therefore, that gets it. So that gets us, therefore, to, dividing 768 by 32 gives us 24. So we would say, therefore, that, the woman, when she's bringing her korban yeledes, is bringing something that would be worth 24 protis. One bird, we would assume, is worth 24 protis. Because we said before that kinim are supposed to, the proper price for kinim is a quarter of a dinner, which is 48 protis. So one bird is half of that, is 24 protis. Now we're saying the dalei dalos, we're going to divide that down again by 32. Now 24 divided by 32 comes out to less than 1. So the question is, in that case, in that case, you have three quarters of a prutta, not one prutta. Why was the Braisa saying it's one prutta if by that calculation it comes to three quarters? The answer is hochinami. You're right. In principle, it could be three quarters of a prutta. Ella delav, ella delav orachari three. Kochin the prutta lamakim. It's not derech erefik to bring less than something worth less than a prutta to the Beis Hamikdash to the dasher. Well, the point is, in other words, therefore, the Braisa is assuming that the Asiras Ta'efa is a Prusa. In other words, the Braisa is saying, you're right, in principle, the proportion should be 32 and then 32. However, since you're not supposed to bring less than a Prusa, the proportion is 32 and then 24. Instead of making the second jump be 32, like the first one, we instead make the jump 24 in order that comes out to one Prusa. So that's how we learn, therefore, that the Asiras Ta'efa is worth one Prusa. No, so we're saying... In theory, we're saying that if it was just a matter of proportions, we would allow him to bring something that's worth only three quarters of a prutta, but we have to consider that it's not derecheristic to bring less than a prutta. Therefore, the asiris ha'efa is worth a prutta. That's the dalai dalos. The dalos is bringing something worth 24 times as much, namely one bird, and the osher is bringing something worth 32 times as much, namely a sheep.
Instead of saying 32 and 32, or 16 and 16, whatever, we're saying 20, right.
All right. Now let's start talking about the Shivcha Charucha. We said at the beginning of the parak that one of the cases where a person brings a korban, where a person brings an asham is for a korban, or is for a Shivcha Charucha, and we said that that's different than most other cases because you bring it for shogig or for mazid, and you also bring one korban even if there were multiple beers with the same Shivcha. So now let's discuss that. Ma ben Shivcha leben kol arayis. What are the differences between Shivcha Charucha and all other arayis? So like this, shalai shavs lehem leib onish shalai b'korban. They're different as far as the punishment, and they're different as far as the korban. First of all, shakol ha'arayis b'chapas, with all the other arayis that we listed in our Mishnah, a person is over on them b'shoigah, he brings a chapas. The shivcha ba'asham, the shivcha charofa, instead he brings an asham. Also, kol ha'arayis, all the other ones in our Mishnah, we said a ba'al imoy, ba'al achoyta, and this and that, whatever, but here it's an asham. Why? Okay, that's how it is. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. That's a shame. Okay. Also, kol ha'arayis in the cave of a ship from the Zohar. Another difference is, related to that, is that with all other arayis, the animal that you bring as a korban is a female animal, because a regular person's chassas is a female sheep or a female goat. The shivcha b'zohar, as opposed to the shivcha charufa, you're bringing an asham, and an asham is always a male animal. Another difference, kol ha'arayis echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'ish ha'shoven b'maklis of a korban. When it comes to all other arayis, the man and the woman both have the same chiyuv of malchus and the same chiyuv of a korban. If they were mazid, they both get malchus. If they were shogig, they both bring a korban. Okay, if one of them is shogig and one of them is mazid, fine, but we're talking about if they're both animals. But over here, over shivcha, loy hishva, loy ha'ish le'ish b'maklis, loy hishva, ish le'ish le'ish b'korban. The man is not the same as the woman. She gets malchus, he assuming it was remaided. He does not. But on the other hand, below Hishva, Isha the Ishva Korban. On the other hand, when it comes to the Korban, he brings the Korban, she does not. That's how it is. I mean, if they both did it remaided, she gets malchus, he brings the Korban. No, he brings the Korban. Yeah, we talked the other day. We said that maybe Rashi might hold. He might get malchus for a different reason because he was over on Lo Yekadosh. But fine. But we're talking about in terms of the issue of Shivcha Charucha. She gets malchus. We're going to talk about it in the Gemara where we know this, and he brings a carbon. Kol ha'arayis also behenas a ma'arik goymer. Another difference with all other arayis, there's no difference whether he was ma'ara, whether he did the initial touch of his aver to hers. And we actually have in Yevamos and in other places we discuss what exactly is hara. Is it the initial touch? Is it the initial bit of penetration? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether there was that or whether there was full penetration. The chayev akobio bia. Also, when it comes to other arayas, the person is chayev akhatas individually for each bia. If they were in separate halim, with all other arayas.
But
not here. When it comes to Shivcha Charucha, only if he was Goymer, only if it was Gmar Bia, and as we said before, he's only Chayev individual, he's only Chayev one Korban, even if for all the Bias, right? Okay. On the other hand, zu chomer hechmer b'shivcha. On the other hand, you have the following chumrah when it comes to a shivcha harova, which also about amazed b'shogeg, as we said before, that he has to bring a korban, whether he did it b'shogeg or amazed, whereas with most other arayis, he doesn't bring a korban if it was b'shogeg.
And she...
She's getting...
If
she's then she gets malchus.
And b'shogeg?
And b'shogeg, nothing. She doesn't bring a korban. Eizu shivcha. What is the definition of a shivcha harova for this purpose? Kol shechet yeshivcha v'chet yibat chorin. Where she is half shivcha and half free. We'll talk about in the Gemara what charufa means. So it means that she's half one and half the other. So as we have the case before, you have Rebbe holds you're able to be meshacher, you're half of your eved. The Chachamim disagree, but they say that you have, let's say, she was owned jointly by two people and one of them free. Okay, whatever. So she's half free and half. Same with an eved. No, with an eved, we said that the mitzvah took an olam. We don't allow him to stay in that situation for very long because then he won't be able to get married. For a shifcha, it's not an issue, right? But midin torah could be either way. Even the Shammai and Basilel agree what you do as far as this eved. They both agree that it is possible for an eved to be chetzi eved chetzi ben chori. They just the Shammai argues that you shouldn't allow it to stay that way for very long. Yeah. But a shifcha, right. Okay, so she's chetzi shivcha v'chetzi bas chorin. How do we know? Shenema, because the passage says v'hofdei lo nifdasa. It says, and redeem she was not redeemed, which implies that there was a partial redemption. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Akiva, it says on the side. Rabbi Shmuel lo mazui shivcha v'dois. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, a shivcha harufa means a full-fledged shivcha. Half shivcha or full shivcha. What do you mean? What's the difference? Vados means that means complete. Complete shivcha. Rebbe Lezib and Yaakov Omer. Rebbe Lezib and Azariah says on the side, Kol Arayas Mefurashis. Rebbe Lezib and Azariah says like this. Look, all the other Arayas, the Torah specifies that we're talking about regular free Jewish women. V'shir ein monu. There's no other exceptions to that. So it must be that this one, el ches yeshivcha v'ches yibachorin. It must be like Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yehuda says that we're talking about ches yeshivcha v'ches yibachorin. Because otherwise, it has to somehow be different than all the other arayas. We'll see in the Gemara what he means by that. What he means by that and why he needs his own limit. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Minolon dehi loki behulai loki. How do we know that only she gets the malchus and he does not? So like this, we learn in a braita when the pasuk says bikodes tia. So the pasuk goes like this: the ish ki yishka v'is isha shichva zara vehi shichva nechrefes leish. That's where we get the word shichva harufa. Nechrefes. It's another form of the word harufa. We're going to see in the Gemara what it means. We'll talk about it when it means. The redeem she was not redeemed, or her freedom was not given to her. So the pasuk says, "Bikodes tia." There shall be a bikodes. We'll see what that bikodes means. Lo yumasu, they will not be put to death. Ki lo chupasha, because she wasn't free. In other words, she's not really considered an ashesish. So, what does it mean, bikodes tia? The word tia is feminine. Melamed shehi loika. That teaches us that she gets malchus. Bikodes tia, she. Tia is feminine, yet Bikodes. We'll see soon how we know what Bikodes means. Yochol Shneim Loiken, you would think maybe both of them get Malchus. No, Chamadon of Tia. No, he loike, but who ain't a loike? She gets Malchus, and not he. Okay. Uminayan dehodin Bikodes lishna de Malchus. So where do we see the word Bikodes means Malchus? Amar Yitzchok tehei Bikroi. So Rabbi Yitzchok says because the word Bikodes is related to the word Bikroi or Bikriya. Something that takes place with Kriya, with reading Psukim, namely Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, it's actually a Mishnah in the Sefer Makos. God, when a person is being given Malchus, Godo Adayonin Makra, the eldest of the Dayonim, because you need at least three Dayonim to give Malchus, the eldest or the greatest of them reads the Psukim. The Mishnah explains over there that there are certain Psukim that you read from the Toshacha while the person is being given Malchus. Shani Moina, the second one counts because you can't give him more than 39, so you have to keep count. Yeah, the three members of the Beis Din are watching the person get malchus. The first member of the Beis Din says the psukim, the second one keeps the count, and the third one, Vashlishi, Omerakeu, the third one each time tells the Chazan HaKnesset, hit him. Because you need somebody to tell him, he can't be doing it on his own. You need somebody to get. No, because first of all, you have to see, as we learned over there in Makos, you have to see if the person is going to die from it, if he defecated, if he whatever, you know. So, okay. So the point is, therefore, so it's something that takes place with Kriya. Rav Ashi, says there's another way we can see the word Bikuritas means Malchus. It means Bikurtiya, something that takes place only with an examination first. So it's not, as we learned also in a Mishnah in Malchus, Ein Omdin Oseel Malchus or Oseel Shtalish. You have to have doctors check him out first and see how much he can take without dying from it. And you have to round it down to the nearest three. Because you can only give him Malchus in groups of three. So let's say they say he can manage 20, then you give him only 18. So we see there has to be a bikur, there has to be an examination. No. To begin with, the doctors check him and say, for example, we evaluate his, given his health and given whatever, that he'll be able to take 20 malchus. So basically, we'll give him 18 then, because they can't go over 20. And it always has to be divisible by 3. The point is that there has to be an examination first. It's not necessarily a given, you're always given 39. So Rav Ashi says, that's where we see it would be kodas. Means Malchus. You have Rabbi Yitzchak that because Bikriya, that's something that takes place with reading of Sukkim being done, and Rabashi because being something that requires an examination ahead of time. Mephoshim on the Pasuk, by the way, mentioned another point, how we know Bikuritas means Malchus. The word Bikuritas can also be related to the word Bokar, which means cattle. So it means that you use for Malchus a strap made from leather from cattle. In fact, we learned in Malchus that the strap is made out of ox skin with a couple of pieces with ox skin with a couple of pieces of donkey skin attached. So therefore, Bikuritas can refer to lashes using a strap made out of skin from bokar. Okay, the point is that's how we know that there's Malchus involved. And since the pasuk says Bikuritas Tia, which is in feminine form, means she's getting the Malchus, he's not.
So Bikuritas from Bikur,
from Bikriya, from Bikur, or from bokar, right? Okay. That's to be continued tomorrow. That's the chapter.